Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 268. It's the week of January 26, 2019. Thanks for coming along. Thanks for coming back if you're a returning listener. Much appreciated on that. Always love to have new listeners, and always love to have returning listeners come back and listen to another episode. Got several emails in the email bag section of the show for this episode, so I'm looking forward to that already. I wanted to remind everybody that there is a voice feedback feature at the ashlanddave.podbean.com website. If you were to go to ashlanddave.podbean.com, right there on the homepage, if you go over to the right side of the screen and scroll down a little bit, you'll see a tiny little tab on the right side that's vertical that says send voicemail, and you can record yourself a message, record a message for me, and it'll be sent to me, I guess an MP3 for real easy format where I can just pop it into the podcast if you want to become a part of the podcast that way. You can also listen and delete your recording or whatever. It's just another way to send feedback to the show. You can also do that at ashlanddave@gmail.com. So I'd like to encourage you to check out both of those. I do love to get emails from listeners. Just let me know where you hail from, what kind of running you do, some of the stuff that you're interested in, maybe how you found out about the podcast. And we've had a few people over the years use the voicemail feature, so that is pretty neat. It's just another way, and it's another way to for me to add some audio to the show, which is really neat to do when I hear from other listeners and kind of hear what they sound like. This episode is going to be called 50-miler race prep. 50-miler race prep. I've got the Light to Light 50 coming up on February 3rd. So it's a week away from today. Today I'm producing the show on January 26th. And I had a real good training run this morning. The training cycle has really just been outstanding from the very beginning. I have been very pleased with the way things have worked out. The weather's agreed. It's been a little cold on some days, but the weather has really agreed with what I've been wanting to accomplish. And so now I'm kind of thinking more of strategy and equipment. And so I'm just going to share some of the ideas that I have as I prepare the week ahead of time for a toeing the starting line at a 50-mile ultra marathon. This is the same race I did last year. I checked the temperatures last year. It looked like it was at the start of the race, it was 27 degrees, which was pretty cold. And I remember it really didn't warm up at all until the sun came up. And then once the sun came up, it was just a beautiful day to run down on the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And then I recall as the sun went across the sky and started going down on to the, let's see, at that point I was going northbound because I turned around. The sun was then to my left, which would have been to the west. I was running. The sun would only kind of dart between houses, some of the beach houses down there that were on the opposite side of the road as I was going northbound. One of the things I recommend when you I prepare for a race, at least I recommend to myself, is be familiar with the race course. This one starts at the base of the Currituck Lighthouse, which is almost kind of close to the most northern part of the Outer Banks. There's another section of the Outer Banks that is only available by four-wheel drive vehicle, and there are houses up that way. You have to drive along the beach to get up there. This race starts at the base of the Currituck Lighthouse and then heads south for the pretty much the whole race, except for the tail end, south on Route 12. And there's mostly a walkway or some kind of sidewalk or asphalt path along the road. There are only a few sections where you actually have to run on the shoulder of the road, and there is asphalt to run on. And then as it gets down in the area, I think it goes almost as far as Nag's Head. It's supposed to circle around south of Nag's Head, then comes around Body Island Lighthouse, where there's supposed to be an aid station, and then it circles back north. And that's where the sun kind of gets on the other side. And this year, there was a message from the race director due to the government shutdown that there's a chance that last aid station might have to be moved because that property is owned by the National Park Service. But looks like the government might be open. Hopefully, by the time race day comes around, if nothing happens in politics between now and then, it looks like we might be good to go. So the course will be the exact same as last year, which I'm happy with. And even if it is different, I get that. Ultra marathons are like that because the courses are so long, unless it's a loop course, and sometimes the race directors have to change things, and that's okay with me. It's pretty much mainly the same course. So I need to get – I have not gotten familiar with where the aid stations are yet. That is one of the things I'll be doing this week, and I'll have some discussions with my crew, which is my wife, Monica. Just the two of us are going to be managing this race. I'm the runner. She's the crew. And she's the crew captain, the only crew. She did a great job last year. My daughter was down there this year. Daughter's got another activity, so it's just going to be me and the wife. And I'm looking forward to that. It'll be nice to just rely on her and have her do everything. But the funny thing about this race is that I've got an additional ultra marathon on the horizon for April, which will be my first attempt at a 100-miler. So in some ways, this 50-miler is a training event for that. And so my mindset has to change a little bit. I have to be in the mindset that when I finish the 50, or actually I think last year it was somewhere between 52 and 53 miles, just because of where they had the finish line. It was at an area called Jeanette's Pier that had a large parking lot, so they were able to have the finish line there. 50, 52, 53, in some of these long events, that's to be expected, and I'm not going to lose any sleep over that. But I need to be in the mindset that at the end of this race, I am not completely mentally and physically, completely done. You know, like zero in the tank. Because in reality, for April, that is really just the halfway part. I haven't quite wrapped my head around that yet. That's going to take a lot of thinking and some other training runs in order to kind of get to that mindset. So we'll see where I am. I'll obviously do a race report at the for the next podcast. We'll be about the 50 miler and the things that came up at the Light 50. So we'll kind of see how that goes. I've got a couple strategies that I'm going to be looking at. I had my training has just been really good. I peaked at 55 miles for the week a few weeks ago. That included a 25 miler and a 15 miler on the weekend. And that adds up to 40. And then I had a 10 miler earlier that week. So everything I did added up to 55. I can't remember. I know that math didn't work, but I did do 55 because I had it on my, did everything I had to do on my calendar. I just don't have that in front of me. I followed that. The week before that was actually a 45 miler. And then I backed off. And then this past week I did 50, which was a combination of three training runs during the week. I was out of town, but I was able to get out on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning before I had to go to – I was out of town, but I was able to find a large loop around a shopping mall on a service road that was mostly flat. It was 1.2 miles, and it worked out perfect. I got up three mornings in a row and took care of that to add up to 19. And then I did 31 last Saturday without a recovery run on Sunday, and that added up to 50. And the 31 was a success. And so I have a lot of confidence going into the 50 next week. Not overly confident, but I have a lot of things going for me. I've had a good training cycle. I did the 50K. I did that all by myself, as a matter of fact. I'll go into that here in a minute. So things are just really going my way. I'm familiar with the course. I've looked at the temperatures for next week. The forecast is for a temperature start time. It's going to be, let's see, I'm not sure if I can get an hourly, but the race is Saturday, February 2nd, and it's going to be a low for that day is 34 degrees. Sunrise is at 7:02 a.m. The race starts at 6 a.m., a high of 38. And so the starting is they're not even going to be below freezing, and I can manage that. I'll probably will start in shorts, as a matter of fact, and just have some heavy stuff up top. Last year I started in long pants, and I believe I wore long pants all day long. And so this will be nice to be able to wear shorts. But it's going to be mostly cloudy, so I'm not really sure how much the sun's going to warm things. Sunset will be at 5:30, so the goal is to finish before the sun gets down, where there's no heat at all anymore from the sun. I ran the race in 11 hours 17 minutes last year. However, that I'm not really so sure that's really needs to be the goal for this year, because the whole point is not to be so spent at the end where I can't even continue or if the only thing I can do is the walk. So I think I'm going to adjust my strategy a little bit. I had a little discussion this morning with Ash and Tom. We went out on a 10-miler that was fairly easy for the both of us. And what we did is we ran 5 minutes, walked five, and just did that for the whole 10 miles. And that pretty much measured up to exactly where I've been through training, which was to try to average 5 miles an hour for as long as I could. And so we did that this morning. And what I've been doing in the past is running I'll run 0.9 and then I'll walk a tenth, run 0.9, walk a tenth. And it kind of turns out to be the same amount of time it takes to cover 5 miles in an hour with the 5 and 5. So I probably will start out doing 5 and 5 and or the other way and just kind of see how things go. Part of me wants to try to beat the time from last year. Part of me says I got to let that go. It's a very generous cutoff with this race, so I'm not worried about that at all. But I obviously need to use this for knowing how I am going to be between 35 to 50, which is really that witching time for me when I do these done these long events, is how to manage all that in my head. When chafing issues arise, any blistering or clothing issues, or you've been in wet clothes most of the time, and I need to have more dry stuff this year. I need to make a note of that. And I got a whole list of stuff here. I'll kind of hit on that a little bit as I go through the show. But just really had a lot of confidence and a lot of success with the real long run by myself last weekend. And the way I do that is I break it off in chunks where I can trick my brain. So what I did last week was I took my dog out and I started around the town where we live, and I did 3 miles with the dog and then went out and did two finish up miles and came back to the house and refueled and then headed out to a park that's out in the county that's about 5 miles from my house. And my wife met me out there and I got a fresh water bottle. I use that powdered drink called Succeed. And then I headed back in, and then so at that point I had 15, and then I really only needed 16 to go. And I had already mapped out a route from my house down to St. Mary's Hospital, which is that's actually right outside the city of Richmond in Henrico County. And I'd run down there before. I know I can get down Route 1 safely, which is what they call number one highway here, and pretty much for the most part parallels Interstate 95. That kind of bisects Hanover County where I live. And I mapped that out to get down there safely. There's a section, a large section of that, the route that I mapped out, that actually has a sidewalk. So I managed to stay on that. There's a couple convenience stores I used for refueling when I ran out of my Succeed drink. And I was able to actually get to the 31-mile mark, the 50K mark, before I got to the hospital, because I'd mapped it on the like a mapping thing on the computer. So, but the problem was that I was going to have my wife pick me up there, because I figured it was if I came up short, meaning I'd hit the 31-mile mark and I was close to the hospital, I would just walk the rest and meet her there. But what happened was got to the 50K mark, probably about a mile and a half shy of the hospital, and then my cell phone battery died out. So she was watching me on the Life 360 app that we use in our family, and then she said my signal just disappeared. But what I was able to do is I was able to get up to a road where I knew she was going to be going past it, and so I happened to see her car, and I kind of waved my arms, and she saw me, and she turned around and came and picked me up. But I still felt pretty good until I got in the car. And then when I tried to get out of the car, when I got home, that's when it was, a lot of pain and very difficult to walk. So the key is just to keep moving. And I think, so what I need to do when I get up to Maryland for the 100 miler, April 27th and 28th, is maybe not really sit down that much. Definitely don't get in the car. Some lessons on that. So I'll be mulling that over a lot in my brain, and that's really future Dave's problem. I don't really have to think about covering 100 miles right now. The main goal is to get to 50 next Saturday and then see how I feel, and if it was the kind of day where I needed to keep going, what would I do? Because it'd be getting dark at that point, and that's going to require kind of a new strategy to get through the night and some different fueling options with food, solid food and liquid. So I've made a list of a lot of the stuff that I keep on my list. I have a little composition notebook that I use to write down ideas of the podcast. And then I use that to make my list for when I go camping or go on these ultra runs. That way I don't forget stuff from the time before. And at the top of my list is two pairs of shoes. I broke in a brand new pair of the Ultras last week, and I've got 13 miles on them. And then the other, that's the brand new pair. And then the pair that's a little bit older has, I think, about between 50 and 55 miles on them. So I've got two real good pairs of shoes in shape. I'm just going to bring the two pairs, and I'll switch off halfway through if necessary. I'm not sure what I'll do for the 100 mile at this point. I'm not going to quite worry about that. And I'll talk with some other people that have done that kind of distance to see what they do. And the reason I switched the shoes up is because the feet is really the weakest part of my body. I've had problems over the years with blistering and the foot moving around and different things like that. And that's been the problems I've had until I switched over to the Ultras, which have the very wide toe box, which has worked very good for me, especially when I ran Potawatomi Trail 50K up in Michigan, which was a trail race. That was 50K. Ran in the Ultras and didn't have any blistering problems. Of course, you got to tie them pretty tight so your foot doesn't move around. But it just gives the front of my foot a lot more room, especially my toes, which is where the blisters are. And I've learned to keep my feet very dry as much as possible. And probably the most time I've lost over the years doing these events is with the switching of shoes and socks. And what I do is if it's hot, I have a cold washcloth to reduce the temperature of the skin, dry them really good, and then use a lot of powder to soak up any other moisture and keep the feet very dry in a fresh pair of socks. And one of many things I need to remember for this race is to go ahead and put some Vaseline in between the toes if there's any hot spots. You want to avoid the hot spots, of course, but if there's anything developing, I'm going to need to address that early in this race and not just think, oh, I think I can make it to 50 miles before there's a problem, because this is the kind of event where I can get out there and really practice and see what it's going to be like to lube those toes up early when necessary, so no problems are developing at 50 or at 60. Several years ago, I think it was 2011, I did the Graveyard 100K, and that was before I was wearing the real cushion shoes that I wear now. The Ultras have a lot of cushion, and I remember my feet past the 45, 50-mile mark. I'd never gone past 50 miles during that race. That was 100K, so I guess that's around 62. I remember my feet just feeling so bruised. And I've gone back and I made a movie, a home movie of that effort. And I remember that I had to check my feet. Pads in my feet felt like they were kind of starting to break because they were hurting so bad. And so I checked them many times, and the skin was not breaking. It just felt bruised. And I promised my wife that if the skin started breaking open, I wasn't going to be all laid up for 2 weeks after I do one of the ultras. So I was, I had a big decision to make there, but the skin wasn't breaking. It was just painful. And that's something that you can deal with and manage. What you can't is when you're just sitting there destroying the skin on your feet, foot step after footstep, and being a burden to your family when you're home because you can't do anything. And that's something that's a line I'm not going to cross over anymore. Maybe for the 100 I will, since that'll be a kind of an epic thing, and I turned 50 this year, the week after that race. I don't know, but maybe I'll reevaluate it then. But the idea is not to get to that point. So I have this routine I do to just keep my feet dry, and I'll do that next weekend. Of course, Body Glide, I use the nippies, things to protect the nipples. That can just be a real, real big problem, especially if it's raining. I'll take two pairs of shorts. I'll take multiple shirts, long pants. I'll take those and some cold weather gear in case it's windy. It looks like the wind is going to be coming from the north. I don't know how they can weather forecasters can predict that on Saturday, February 2nd in the Outer Banks of North Carolina, at least the NAG said the wind's going to be coming from the north at 14 miles per hour. I don't know how they can predict that. It's not going to be 13. It's not going to be 15. It's going to be 14. So that's going to be good, meaning I'm not going to be running into a headwind for most of the day. And 14 miles per hour is not a whole lot of wind whatsoever. So I could definitely manage that. But I'll bring cold weather gear, hat and a visor, knit hat, multiple pairs of gloves. I got a waist pack that I put stuff in so I don't have to carry it in my hands or in pockets. Sunglasses. I'm going to take two Garmins. That way I have a backup. I've got two iPods I'll bring because I like to listen to podcasts while I'm running. If I'm not talking to anybody while I'm running, I like to talk to people also, but if there's always some, a lot of times you're by yourself and I can't always listen to music. I like to listen to iPod podcasts and just kind of have my brain float away for a little bit. Plastic bag for wet clothes. I got raincoat on my list, but I'm not sure I'm going to need that, but it's always good. And when I say raincoat, I have this poncho and the kind of ponchos you see people wearing to football games. It's kind of a one use kind of thing. I use the Goo gel packets and I succeed drink. I'll bring two water bottles. That way I always have one. And then my crew will have the other one to be managing for me when I see her or get to an aid station. S-caps, I use those because I really sweat a lot, even when it's cold out. Let's see, washcloths. One is for my face, one's for my feet. Flip-flops, of course, for the end so I can get out of those wet shoes. Dry clothing for the finish. Make a note on that. I have like a package of cloth wipes that are really good, that are great for wiping, because you can throw them away after using them, for wiping stuff down between your toes or kind of cleaning the skin surface. You can get those. I think they're in the toilet paper aisle. So as you can imagine, those are handy for other things too. Let's see, headlamp. In this race, the looks like the sun comes up, I think. What did I say? Sun's going to be coming up at 7:02. And I remember last year there were so many people that had headlamps. I probably didn't need mine because you're running with the group there at the beginning, and I'm going to be having a reflective vest on because the very beginning you kind of run right along the side of the road. And that time of day, there's not a whole lot of people up. But it probably is helpful to have that, and it's always a good safety thing. And so what if everybody thought the same way as me and said, oh, I ran this last year, and there's so many people that had headlamps, I'm going to leave mine at home. And then there's maybe three or four people that bring theirs. So I'll bring mine. I can always give it to my crew. I think I've got batteries in that. I'll have to check on that. I always put a folding chair in the car. And let me just kind of explain how this race works a little bit. I think there's four aid stations over the course of the race. You know, very nice. It's nice to have all that. And these, if it's the same as last year, which I'm sure it will be, it's awesome. They got everything. I mean, it's really good. And so I supplement that by having some of my own supplies. I personally like the Boost energy drinks because it's the liquid calories that's easy to absorb and digest pretty quickly. And I can't remember how many of those I drank last year, but I need to go to the store and buy those. But that's kind of just on top of what they have at the aid stations, which is, you know, what you pay your race fee for. And these aid stations are awesome. And my wife will just pull the car over and I'll check out the aid station, and then I'll probably go over and do a shoe and sock check, feet check. And that's why I bring the folding chair, so she can get that out so I can sit down. And I always recommend, if anybody ever listens to any advice from me, which I don't offer unsolicited advice to people, but if you ever thought about bringing a folding chair, my recommendation is to get one that is not a beach chair, you know, one that's not 6 or 8 inches off the ground that's hard to get out of. I'm talking about one that you'd sit and put out if you're going out to see an outdoor concert or something like that. This is one of these folding chairs that you can easily get out of or kind of fall out of. I don't like the bag chairs because I have a hard time getting out of those bag chairs. I actually like an old school folding chair. You know, the kind that old people sit in when you go to something. I mentioned the reflective vest. I've developed a plastic bin system where I put all different supplies in two plastic bins, so I keep food and drink in one, and then extra clothing and little things like the extra Garmin or an extra iPod or extra batteries or things that are non-clothing, they go into the other smaller plastic bin, so my crew doesn't have to look in the big bin and under clothes for little things. If I get fussy and want something fast, it's easy to find. I'm going to be taking two peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I absolutely love those, and I know they'll have them at the aid stations, but I like mine in a plastic bag. And what I'll do is I'll get one of those from my crew. I'll even eat at the aid stations too, but then I'll take a sandwich in my pocket in a plastic bag, and that way I can kind of nibble at it as I go. It's very hard for me to eat while I'm running, but I like having that sandwich there kind of as a little security blanket type of thing. I like to have a water jug so I can, I don't know why I put that on there. And then face lotion, of course, in case there's any kind of windburn. Really nothing much worse than that. So that's kind of the list of stuff that I look at when I'm approaching an event like this. And I've never claimed to be any kind of elite runner or anything like that. I've over the years in the podcast, I've talked about successes and failures I've had at my ability level, which is really an ordinary middle of the pack nobody. And I kind of like doing that. There's many things that are different for this year, I guess. One could be the route, and of course, the people that are going to be there. Last year, I only recognized one person that was there. He didn't know me, but I knew him from Dr. Smitty, who had knew this fellow. I think his name was John something. Just chatted with him briefly last year. I don't know if he's returning. I haven't looked at the – I'm not even sure if I'm able to access the list of runners. But there's three people from the Ashland area that are going down there, and this is pretty exciting. Tina, Heather, and Cameron. Tina and Heather have trained together the whole time. Tina has done, I believe, multiple 50Ks. I think Heather is an Ironman finisher, and I believe Cameron's done some ultras. I don't know if they all of them have done a 50-mile or not. Tina, when I've seen her out running, or I see her at church sometimes, she'll mention how scared she is and this and that, and I found out this morning from Ashland Tom that he thought that Tina and Heather had attempted the JFK 50 last fall, but for some reason missed the cutoff by just 20 seconds or something. It felt like they had to stop, and they did. And so I don't know. I'm just speculating based on what he said. So I don't think they finished. I didn't look up the results or anything. But that means that they've already tried it, and so that's cool. That should give them some confidence knowing that they can get pretty far. And Cameron is a regular runner around town that I've seen, and I believe his son and my daughter are on the same swim team, so I'm familiar with him. So it'll be really cool to run with some folks that I know from home. I always like meeting new people too, but it's nice to see familiar faces down there. And I actually ran into Tina and Heather this morning when we were finished our training run, but they were still going. And it sounds like they run a very similar pace to me, but they do a 2-minute run, 1-minute walk, and their goal is also 5 miles an hour. So it's very possible that I'm not going to do a 2-in-1, but it's very possible there'll be a whole lot of leapfrogging going on. And after a while, I'd probably get right kind of ridiculous, and who knows, I might even fall into the same rhythm and see what happens. But again, my priority is to practice for the 100-mile attempt. It's hard to do when it's only the race is when I almost said it's only 50 miles. When the race is 50 miles and knowing that you have farther to go, but it's very difficult to go out and practice that on your own. I would never try to go 50 miles on my own. It takes all day, and it seems a little strange to explain that to people that you would do that. Ashland Tom said when he was training for his 100-miler, which was, I think, 2 years ago, I think he said that 35 miles was the longest run he did, and then he followed that up on – that was a Saturday run, and then he followed up on Sunday with, I think, a 10-miler or something like that. I can't remember what he said. So I got a lot to think about as I go through this week and prepare for this race and then get mentally ready on race day. And then reevaluate that mental readiness as I go through and get above the marathon mark and get past the 50K mark. And then start getting up to that 50-mile mark, knowing that I have to do that all over again in order to meet that goal in April if that's what I want to do. Obviously, I know there's a lot of walking that can be done, and maybe I should do more of that next weekend than I want to. You know, you have this thing inside you that wants to run the same or better finish time that you did last year, but that's really not going to do me any good if I've got another 50 miles to go and I go out there and try to quote crush it, you know, parentheses at my ability level, and beat the time or come very close to that time, which was 11 hours 17 minutes, and then come the end of the race, I got nothing left. And so Maybe I should really target more of a something that's probably a little bit more realistic for that would be closer to the 13 hour mark. I believe it's got a 14 or 15 hour cutoff. So I'm not even in any jeopardy at all unless I have some major, major problems that really get me going really slow not making that cutoff. And I don't really care where I fall in the race standings because I've got a bigger goal ahead. But obviously the first thing is to get to the finish line of this race and put all these things into practice. Another thing that Tom had mentioned this morning as we had 2 hours to talk was it might be good for me to consider doing an overnight run just for the sake of being up all night and running and then and having, you know, running to the sunrise and having that kind of thing happen. So there's a lot of stuff to think about as I go forward. So that was a whole lot. Let's see, I talked for about 30 minutes just now, and I did say I have several emails that I wanted to get to. So let's look at that email the email bag section of the show and see who checked in this week. All right, I heard from Tim, and Tim is from Middletown, Ohio, and I hadn't heard from him in a while. I guess it's been a little bit since I've emailed with Tim, and he's a listener to the show. And I'm really glad that he's still listening. And Tim, it's just great to hear from you. He says, "Hey, Dave, thought you'd be interested to know that I'm trying to run all the streets in my city, Middletown, Ohio." He said, "I'm not sure I heard the idea from you first, but you're certainly one of the first I know to do it." Yeah, there's other people that have done this, Tim. I copied it from Sandy up in Michigan, and I think it's really cool. And then there's a guy out in San Francisco that did every street in San Francisco, which is a huge project. You know, you can't help where you live, really, but I think it's cool. I think it's cool that I ran every street where we live. And we did it with our group, so that kind of made it really special for us. He writes Middletown is about 50,000 people. It's a bit complex to run, mostly because very little bit is a nice grid. It's bordered on one side by a river, other side by other towns, making nowhere near a neat square or rectangle. The streets go everywhere, lots of dead-end streets. Streets that don't go through, and he doesn't want to run staring at his map or phone, and so he would constantly miss streets. But he says he's already done about maybe a third of the town over the course of 20 runs. He's been looking at Strava, and says he's going to go to the city manager to see if he can get a proper city map, and overall pretty hard to estimate. And yeah, Tim, I responded to your email, and that's what I did. I went and got the town map, which was old. So we actually had to write in some streets that we knew existed since that map was made. And I'm surprised that the town of Ashland doesn't keep the map updated. But hey, you know, it's a small town. We were able to figure out the streets that we needed. And we didn't run any extra than we had to. We tried to be as strategic as possible. There was only a couple streets where there was not a town limit sign. So we knew where the boundary was. And I think what we did, we always asked went a little farther instead of coming up short, and I think we did just fine, and I'm sure you will too. I think it's a great project, and I wish you all the best with it. I think you're gonna have a whole lot of fun doing it, so it's always good to hear from you, man. I really do appreciate it. I heard from Snuggy Bear. Snuggy Bear is his name is John, and he's one of the original members of Team Incognito, which is a running group that I was a part of physically several years back. Ran my first marathon with that group back in 2006, and I can't believe I can believe I'm still friends with a lot of these people in the group. Some people have moved out of the area, and I've lost touch with a little bit. But mostly it's a virtual group now, just, you know, online we communicate. And John and I had an epic trip that we made to Mississippi, 2 years ago, John, was it? I can't remember, for the Mississippi Trail 50-miler. And he ran, I think it was his first 50, and he just ran awesome. So he writes, "Hey, Dave, I'm still listening to the show. Thrilled to hear that you're going after 100-miler. If I can help in any way, please let me know. I'd be happy to crew for you if you want the help. Since our run in Mississippi, I've been running a lot less. I've recently built up my mileage enough to sign up for the Frostbite 15K. And he ran that 15K is a traditional race here every year in January by the Richmond Roadrunners Club. He finished in an hour 20, which is only a bit slower than when he ran in 2008 at an hour 19. That is awesome, John. And John is, I think he's 53 53 or 54. I'm not. He's several years older than me, but he's not an old man yet. Anyway, he's going to keep me posted on anything else that he is working on. And I've already emailed you back, John. You should have gotten that email. But I am going to take you up on that offer to help Monica crew up at the 100 Miler. And here's the deal, is that my good friend Lummix, who lives in Maryland, is going to he's agreed to get, I think, 24-mile fitness, which is what I'm going to need as a pacer towards the end if I'm going to make it. And I told him he could practice a whole lot of walking for that 24 miles. But Monica is already concerned about her ability to go the distance with crewing. So it's going to be very, very nice to have you there to help her. And y'all are familiar with each other, so that's going to make it really awesome. And I will say that John was, he crewed me at my first 50 miler along with Ryan. I'll get to his email in a second. But when I ran the North Face 50 miler up in Washington, D.C., which was, I think, 2009 or 10. I think it was 2009. I can't remember. No, it had to have been 2010, because I did 2009 is when I turned 40, and I did the Sterling Gym 40 miler that year. And that was, I think that was my ultra for the year. So, John, good to hear from you, man. And I will definitely be taking you up on that. I can't wait to talk more about it. Great to hear from you. So I mentioned Ryan. Ryan is also an original member of Team Incognito, but he moved to Canada with his family several years ago. And he's the one that told me about the guy that did. He sent me a link to an interview, which, Ryan, I have to admit, I haven't looked at yet. I'll get to that in a second. He's doing mostly cycling events. He lives up in, I want to say Ottawa, but I'm not exactly sure. He's done, and it's been over 3 years since he ran a half marathon, and he signed up for one this fall. Ricky Gates, he's the one that sent me He's the one that sent me the link to the guy named Ricky Gates, who ran every street in San Francisco, and I think I linked to that in the last show. Let me see if I did. I did. If you go to ashlanddave.podbean.com, you'll see that link in episode 267. And all you have to do is look at the map that he put on, I guess it's his Strava blog. And, of course, that blows away what I did. Our effort would be like an eighth of that. pretty incredible. And I don't think I went over Ryan's email already. Sorry. Ryan, good to hear from you. And Ryan was one of the guys that crewed, actually me and Tom when we did the North Face 50 miler several years back. A memory that I'll never forget, because that's the year that I burned my feet off, macerated the pads of my feet where I had to go to the hospital, and I was out of work for 2 weeks. And I've offered those pictures out to anybody that wants them that can stomach it. I will email you the pictures of my feet from the medical tent. And you'll see what I was basically running on for the last, I don't know, probably 10 to 15 miles. And I didn't know why my feet were hurting so bad until I got to the end. And let's see, Dr. Smitty was pacing me at the end to make sure I made the cutoff, which I made, I think, what was it, Greg, 11 minutes. And something like that. And then I took those shoes off, feet are all bloody, took those socks off, and I went to the medical tent. And that's when some guy in there was like, holy shit, I've never seen that before. And I started worrying that I was gonna have to start getting skin grafts from my backside to put on my feet. And anyway, within about a week and a half, I was walking on them with very little effort. And then within 2 weeks, I was back at work. But that was completely unexpected, and I'll never make that mistake again. I promised my wife. That was one of the things I had to promise. So if you want to email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com and ask for the foot pics, I'll be happy to send them to you. heard from Alex in Arizona. Always good to hear from you, Alex. He's put in 35 miles the last 4 days. He likes to be able to run whenever. He took some time off. Activities for the kids in school, no other activities, so he's able to really put some miles down. And he says he follows the Caboose on Instagram, which is our local watering hole that we like to go to. And I didn't even know they had Instagram. I know they put stuff on Facebook a lot. I guess if you put stuff on Facebook, you put it on Instagram too. And he says it's been cold out, and he says 38 degrees the other morning because he's not used to it, so he calls that cold. I call 38 degrees, Alex, perfect running weather. he says most of the year he complains about the heat, but he does like the chilly weather, but it does make it hard to get out and run some days. He had a ski mask on the other day, looked like a ninja running. We don't need a ski mask at that temperature, Alex. I wore a balaclava this morning for the run that Tom and I did at 10 miles, and it was, I think, 22 degrees at the start and really didn't get much past that by the time we were done, and I was pretty hot. That thing really, those things really keep the heat in your head when you have your face and your neck covered and your whole head. I will say that. And I got this really obnoxious lime, yellow, lime-colored, greenish thing that's very, very visible, and I've only ran in it for a few times, and it's very effective. Anyway, Alex, good to hear from you. I wish you all the best, and stay in touch, man. I kind of missed you there for a while, but I'm really glad that you're back. So I heard from Dr. Smitty, of course, and he's a regular listener to the show, regular character that I see usually on a regular basis, but he has looks like he's going to have knee surgery. But he's holding out for being able to come back from that and train for the Barkley Fall Classic in September. He's doing a lot of weights, a lot of hikes. And he says the hikes on the treadmill with the incline all the way up, he said the hiking doesn't seem to bother his knee at all, but going down is a whole other story. And I think that Barkley Fall Classic, I think, is a 50-miler on the same course as the Barkley Marathons, if I'm not mistaken. I might be mistaken, but I do believe it's in the same area. That was it called Frozen Head State Park out in Tennessee. Greg's going to try to get out to Tennessee this summer and train on the course. He's on the wait list, but he's going no matter what, just to be a part of the atmosphere and the culture. And I got to tell you, Greg, I'm envious of that. I've watched the movies about the Barkley Marathons, and I just think it would be really interesting to see the plain old suffering that goes on out there when people come back in to the start finish, and also to hear taps being played for people that go out and aren't able to make it. So I don't know how far that is from my house, but I don't know. That would be a hell of a road trip, wouldn't it, Greg? So I don't know. Let's give that some thought. That might be something to go out there and go camping. And I guess it's I don't know when actually Barkley Marathons are. I know it's cold out there. So good to hear from you, man, and I hope things work out with some of the other stuff you had in your email. I really appreciate you sharing that. You know what? Actually, I got to go back here. My friend Chris, who listens to the show, but he's not a runner, he's a swimmer. He's the one that initially sent me that link to that guy, Ricky Gates, and Ryan sent it to me again. That's why I got confused. Yeah, that's obviously people are noticing that. I will never get in any kind of media coverage for anything that I do here or anywhere, except for maybe at work. But I do think it's really cool what that guy did. And Chris, I appreciate you sharing that. Whew, so we are at the 42-minute mark, and that's about the limit to the show, because I know that some people... I know for me, when I listen to podcasts, if it's an hour and a half, it's really hard for me to listen to the whole thing at one time. I target 30 minutes in this show, and I've gone over just a little bit. So we're going to go ahead and stop it there. And I will be out. I have a show next time will be the experience from Light to Light 50. I hope to have some audio clips from that experience. And my crew is going to be tweeting out updates. If you're interested in following me on February, whenever it is, February 2nd. It's February 2nd, Saturday. My Twitter is at Ashland Dave, AshlandDave. If you want to follow me, I'll just accept that or send me a message saying I listened to the show, and I will I'll let you follow me. That'll be cool. I don't normally tweet. I use Twitter for news and links to stuff and just to see what people are running their mouths about in reference to politics, because I have a whole other side of me that's interested in that kind of stuff. But I'll use it for some updates for the 50-mile, and I'll make sure that my crew does that on my phone, which I will keep in the car so it'll stay warm and the battery won't go out. So check that out at Ashland Dave, AshlandDave. And you can always email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. And of course, the website, the podcast is hosted at Podbean, which is ashlanddave.podbean.com. This is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week. And I will be back right after the race with a brand new show telling you all about it if you're willing to listen. Y'all have a good week.